may abound to every good work. God wants us to abound, and He abounds within us so that we can abound amongst others. That's the bountiful nature of God. And God certainly does bless us in that regard. Paul writes in Philippians 4 and verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus." You see, God owns riches, but He doesn't keep those things to Himself. He gives them to others, and He constantly, there is a constant outflow from Himself to the creation and the world around us and everything that there is. God gives to all. In fact, the very reason we're continuing to be here today and to breathe the air that we breathe and to enjoy the things that we enjoy are due to God's bounteous nature, and that by His very being, He gives and gives and gives. God's bounty is a reason to praise Him. "I will sing unto the Lord because He has been bountiful with me." Psalm 13 and verse 6. What a wonderful, generous, bountiful God we have. Deal bountifully with thy servant. But then notice the second part of this verse, verse 17. "That I may live and keep your word." There is a purpose to God's bounty. And that purpose is the purpose of life. You know, God is life Himself. He is the source of all life. And He is also life, the definition of life. And His existence breathes life into all living things by virtue of who He is and what He is. And He's the source of whatever life that there is, both physical and spiritual. It's not God who is responsible for the introduction of death into the world. It was Satan who did that. And it was mankind then who succumbed to the temptations that Satan offered that brought death into this world. But not God. It wasn't God's intentions that death ever come. In fact, just the opposite. God wanted there to be an abundance of life. And when we read in the creation of the great life that God made, that's exactly how it's described. "Let the waters bring forth an abundance of living things, and the skies an abundance of flying things, and the ground there was an abundance of crawling things." And all these areas, God was bountiful, and God gave life. The psalmist says that that is the purpose of God's bounty, to help us be alive and to keep His word. But God gives life to those who are faithful to Him, because it is our faithfulness to Him that enables Him then to bless us with life. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, we read, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." You know, it isn't the good that die young, as the song says. Those who die young oftentimes are those who have led lives that were full of death and hatred and violence. And by far, those are the largest numbers of people who die young. Of course, there are some innocent who die young, and that is sad and that is regretful. But by far, it is the ones who give their lives over to sin and to a life of sinfulness that end their lives early. But God promises long life to those who would be faithful to Him, that they would refrain their tongue from evil and that they would see good days because of it. But God is not only concerned about physical life, but He's more concerned about spiritual life. Understanding and knowing the principles that are involved in having joy and peace and salvation and contentment and all of those wonderful things. That's what Jesus describes as life in John chapter 10 and verse 10. When he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, that kind of life can't be threatened by the physical things that are in the world, because that kind of life comes from within. And it only comes from within if we give ourselves to God and let Him fill us with the knowledge of His Word. And that's what this psalm is talking about. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. And of course, God longs to grant to us eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, we read, and this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And when we acknowledge the bountiful nature of God, when we acknowledge that God longs to give us life, then we can truly open our eyes that we may see these wondrous things out of the law of God. And verse 18 tells us just that. Wondrous things. And how wondrous is it to have that peace that passes all understanding that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4? How wondrous is it to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge that Paul discusses in Ephesians chapter 4? Yes, these are the wondrous things that come out of the law of God. We need that spiritual sight more than anything. And that sight comes by walking by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. We need to be like the patriarchs who are described in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 13 and 14. Who, even though they couldn't see what God had prepared, nevertheless they lived a life of faith. And they accounted that God was able to prepare for them a city in which they were going to live one day, the likes of which this world has never known. And so we need to walk by faith. And we can do that when we open our eyes to the Word of God. Wondrous things, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. But not only does this psalm discuss God, but it also discusses self. And when I say self, I'm talking about each one of us individually and knowledge about self. You know, knowledge about self is important for us to have the wondrous things that God has within His Word, because oftentimes, or let's say more often than not, it's self that gets in the way of really understanding what God wants. It's self that gets in the way of really understanding how to apply God's Word to our life. And the first thing that we need to acknowledge is what the psalmist confesses here in verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. I am a stranger in the earth. You know, oftentimes we sing that song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, right? Do we really mean that? Do we really appreciate that? You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appreciated that so much. The book of Hebrews tells us, Hebrews chapter 11, in fact, tells us, they appreciated that so much that they always lived in tents. They never had a firm and established home that was grounded, you know, in concrete or something like that. They always lived in tents because they understood their lives on this earth to be just a pilgrimage, just a transition from one place to another. Is that how we look at our lives? Do we really believe that this world is not my home? You know, so often that's what causes us to have problems within this life, is when we start to identify with this world and the things of this world. Whether it be the place that we live, whether it be our earthly physical family, whether it be our nation, whether it be some other aspect of this world that, you know, the list could go on, treasures, riches, whatever it might be. All of those things are temporal and passing, and those things aren't our identity. Our identity doesn't lie within this world. And that's the exact thing that the psalmist is trying to communicate here. I am a stranger in the earth. He confesses that freely because he wants to truly understand God's will for his life. And he knows that he does not have the keys to unlock all of the doors that need to be unlocked while we are here upon the earth. Only God has those keys. And only in turning to God can we unlock that series of doors that stands before us and navigate successfully through this life so that we can one day enter our real home, our eternal home. Yes, I am a stranger in the earth. In 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 15 we read, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, and as were all our fathers, our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." Hebrews 11 and verse 13, the fathers there confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And so what a wondrous thought that it is that my home is not here, but rather it is in heaven. That place that Jesus has gone to prepare for me, that's where my home really is. And that's where I long to be. I am a stranger in the earth. This part of the psalm teaches me about myself, first of all, about my identity and that I am a stranger in the earth. But then secondly, it teaches me that I need God's word to successfully navigate this life. Because in fact, I am a stranger. He says in the second part of verse 19, "Do not hide your commandments from me." You see, I need God's guidance. When you're a stranger in a foreign land, you need the guidance of others. You know, there was one time when I was on a mission trip. I went down to Central America, and the mission was to go and to teach a youth rally in Panama, in the nation of Panama. And the youth rally was taking place right across the border from Costa Rica in Panama. And instead of flying into Panama, I had friends in Costa Rica, so I decided to fly into Costa Rica and meet up with some of my friends. And then we took the bus down to Panama. And we got in the bus, you know, and we traveled for a long way. And finally the bus got to the border and they said, "Everybody out. This is the end of the line." And I was like, "Wait a minute. I thought we were going into Panama." I didn't realize that we were being dumped on the border of Costa Rica and Panama. And that was one of the most unsettling things that I've ever been through, you know. I really understood what it meant to be a stranger and a pilgrim in that moment. Because there we were, sitting on the border between Costa Rica and Panama, and there was nobody there to help. I mean, the only people that were there were the people that were with me from Costa Rica, and they didn't know what to do just as much as I didn't know what to do, you know. Well, finally, somebody got a hold of a person in Panama for us. Somebody knew somebody who knew somebody. And they were able then to call the friends that we were supposed to work with in Panama, and they came to the border and they persuaded the border patrol people there to go ahead and let us cross through so that we could get on with the mission work. There was some reason they weren't letting us cross the border. It had to do with the people who were with me and money and other things. But anyway, the people from Panama assured them that yes, that they were not going to stay there in Panama, but they were going to come back to Costa Rica. And so they finally let us cross into Panama. And, you know, when we crossed into Panama, not too far after, we were stopped by not the the bureaucracy, which is what stopped us on the border, but by the law enforcement. And they had other concerns. But the law enforcement stopped us, made us all get out of the car. And then one of the officers came up to me and said, do you know who you are and do you know what you're doing here? And I said, yes, I'm with these people. They haven't taken me hostage or anything like that. Because that's what he was saying. Because I was sitting in the middle in the back seat. And so he was thinking maybe, you know, I'd been taken hostage or something. But it was an interesting situation. Anyway, that's where I learned the word machucado. And my Spanish was machucado. And you say, well, what does machucado mean? It means mashed up like mashed potatoes. And that's what they called my Spanish. They said, your Spanish is machucado. It's all mashed up. So I still, my Spanish is still that way today. That's more funny in Spanish than it is in English, by the way. But anyway, it was so unsettling, and I got the sense of what it meant to be a stranger in a strange land, and I needed help. I needed guidance. I needed someone else to really be there for me, to take care of me in that moment, because I didn't know what to do. And that's what the Word of God does for us. That's the role of God's Word in helping us navigate through this life, in helping us really find our way so that we can arrive at our ultimate destination, which is heaven one day. And so I need God's Word because I am the stranger in this strange land. As for God, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. Psalm 18 and verse 30. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 62 and verse 8. And we really need God to be our refuge as we travel through this strange world. But then, as we think about self, we understand that we're strangers, we're pilgrims. We understand we need God's Word. But then there's also within us a great desire for the Word of God. Then that's what we really long for. And that's really the only thing that can satisfy us. You know, we try to satisfy ourselves with so many things in this life, with food and drink and clothing, with houses and lands, with money, with all of these. We try to satisfy ourselves with all of these things. And you know, if we could be satisfied with those things, then all of the stores, the big stores over in Texarkana, wouldn't do nearly as much business as they do. Think about that for just a moment. What's keeping places like, Kohl's and Hobby Lobby and the different stores open over there? The fact that people are never satisfied. Why, as soon as we get something and we get it in our house for a couple of months and we get it there and we get it arranged where we like it and it looks good, then we realize, you didn't really like it so much in the first place, and we're back at the store trying to find something to replace it, right? I mean, that's how it works, isn't it? Now, don't look at me like that. You know you're guilty, okay? I'm guilty too. And look, the other day, Charlie got me the other day. He said, Dad, that was what'd you say it was? An impulse buy, yeah. That was an impulse buy, Dad. I was over at Home Depot, and I like bears, all right? I kind of collect bears. If you want to give me some bear things, you can give them to me. I'll appreciate that. But I'm not asking, I'm just saying. but I like bears. So I was over at Home Depot, and they had a bear-faced bottle opener. And it was just $6, you know. And I thought, I've got to have that. I've got to have that bear-faced bottle opener because I'm into bears. And so I bought it and brought it home. Charlie said, that was an impulse buy, wasn't it? I said, yeah. Yeah, it was. I still haven't hung it up yet. It's still in the package, you know. I'm gonna do something with it, though. But look, the point is that things don't satisfy us. We're always wanting more. We're always desiring more things. Only God's Word can really satisfy us. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong necessarily with going to Hobby Lobby or Home Depot or wherever. All right? Don't get me wrong. If you like something and you can afford it, you know, go ahead. Get it. Whatever. But that's not where my life is. That's not what defines me. That's not what I identify with. And I can't afford to be defined by those things. I can't afford to identify with those things because those things are never going to satisfy. And eventually I'll get caught up in that materialistic pursuit and I will never be content. But God has better things in store for us. Things that are wondrous, you know, wondrous things that He's given us out of His law. And so we need to be content and satisfied with God's Word. That's where our desire really is. Now look at what the psalmist says here in verse 20. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. That's where my real desires are at. That's what can really satisfy. That's where I really need to put myself in God's hands and with His Word. God's Word has all of the answers, and it can help us in the most difficult times. That little bare bottle opener, it's not going to help me with my problems, you know. It's not. It's just not. But God's Word can and does and will. And that's why Paul declares that all Scripture is inspired of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I want to know God's Word so that I can have the answers that I'm looking for. For with Thee is the fountain of life. In Thy light shall we see light. Psalm 36 and verse 9. The wondrous Word of God, it satisfies my innermost desires. But then, as I think about the wondrous things in the law of God, we see that it reveals to me something about God. We see that it reveals something about self, but then it also reveals something about sinners. Look at verse 21. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. The prideful, they err from God's will. And God, in rebuking the prideful, teaches us not to put our trust in the things of this life. That's ultimately what pride is. It's false identity. It's raising up within ourselves an identity that can't be really sustained. Pride really only eventually causes us to turn to envy, and that creates anger within our life. And then as a result of that anger, we then try to satisfy ourselves with things that make us feel good, such as money or food or drugs or booze or things like that, or other things, laziness, all of those things, because we feel bad about ourselves for being prideful, for being envious, for having anger within our hearts. You know, those sins are far worse than some of these other things that we talk about that are important. And don't get me wrong. I mean, we talk about things that we don't want to be involved in drunkenness. We don't want to be involved in sexual sins and things like that. Those things aren't good for us to be involved in. But look, every single person has a problem with pride. You know, not every single person is going to commit adultery. But every single person has a pride problem. We all do. Every single one of us. And we have to confess that. We have to admit it. And we have to recognize that God deals with sinners. And that He is going to redeem those who will turn to Him, who will confess their sin, who will confess their faults, and turn to Him in penitence. And that's what this psalm talks about as well. Well, in Psalm 10 and verse 4, we read, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You see, pride gets in the way of our relationship with God. Because pride demands us to have a relationship with someone else. And who is that someone else? It's self. It's the elevation and idolatry of self. That's what pride is, ultimately. And pride gets in the way of having a good relationship with God. But notice what the psalmist writes here in verse 22. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Remove those things from me. The psalmist realizes that in order to be the kind of person that he must be, he's got to deal with the pride issue. He's got to deal with the self-hatred issue. He's got to deal with the problems that he creates within his own life. And that comes from humbling ourselves before God and abasing ourselves before His will. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 34 and verse 18. So how important is it then that we do break our heart before God and give ourselves to Him? In Psalm 119 and verse 9 we read, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. It is a wondrous thing that we can have clean lives through humble living. Verse 23, princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. The prideful will always reproach the humble. They will have them in derision. Psalm 119 and verse 51, they will forge lies against them. Psalm 119 verse 69, they will deal perversely. Psalm 119 verse 78, they will dig pits. Psalm 119 verse 85. But for the person who turns to the Word of God, and thus God Himself, God will deliver him out of all of these snares. God will deal with the proud. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not go unpunished. Proverbs 16 and verse 5. But the humble delight in the testimonies of God. Look at verse 24. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. It is a wondrous thing that though persecuted by the proud, that God's people can take refuge within His Word. God's Word reveals wonderful things. What a great section of Psalm 119. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Those wondrous things reveal to us some things about God, about His bounty, about His authority, about His life-giving abilities, about His revelations to us. Those wondrous things reveal things to us about ourselves, how we're strangers in this earth, how we need the Word of God, and how our true desires can only be satisfied with God's Word. And those wondrous things reveal to us things about sinners, how pride causes one to be far from God, how humility keeps us near God, and how the humble can endure the persecutions of the prideful through understanding and knowing the Word of God. We need to turn to God. We need to turn to His will. We need to turn to Him so that we can have life and peace and joy and contentment. All of those things are in God's Word, and they're available to us if we will give ourselves to Him. If we will take our pride out of the way and just let God work within us. We get in the way so many times of the work that God desires to do within our lives. If you need the prayers of the church to help you with that, then tonight you can make that request known. If you need to become a child of God this evening by turning to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ represents God today. He is the last message to man from God. And there's not going to be any other message than Jesus. And so we need to listen to Him. He guides us. He teaches us. He is the incarnate Word of God. He is who really the psalmist is talking about here in Psalm 119 when he talks about the Word of God. Because Jesus encapsulates every single piece of wisdom, every truth, every right desire, every right attitude. He is the perfect man. And by turning to Him, we can be God's people, God's children, and be involved in that great family which is the Lord's, and ultimately reach that eternal home that we all desire to be at. Hear His word, believe it, repent of sins, confess Him, and be baptized to identify with Him. Not with the things of this world, but to identify with Christ. That's who we need to identify with. He's never going to let us down. He'll never fail us. He'll always be faithful to us if we will put our lives in His hands. And He will give us life. Why? Because He's so bountiful. Because He's so giving. Because He is so loving. Because He wants us to have these good things. But we've got to give ourselves to Him so that He can give Himself to us. Would you give yourself to Him tonight while together we stand and sing?